Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul with your host, Dr. Valerie N. Parker, businesswoman, author, speaker, and life coach. Dr. Parker is the president of Arise by VMP, which is a speakers bureau and public relations company. She is also the visionary and founder of the Soul of a Woman Foundation that brings awareness to domestic violence and children living in single-parent homes. Hot Topics from the Soul is a virtual lifeline to the community, discussing social and political issues, relationships, finances, motivation, and inspiration. For information regarding products, services, and resources, visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you your host, Dr. Valerie Parker.
Well, good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm so delighted to be back with you. We've been on vacation. I have my co-host, Shirley Carter. Shirley, are you there?
Good evening. Yes, good evening, everyone, and welcome back. You know, it was a nice break, but it's so much going on. We had to be in contact with you and communicate with you about everything.
Yes, it's that I needed a break, but thank you for my loyal listeners who sent me emails and text messages and even called and said, where are you? So thank you so much for tuning in and being faithful to Hot Topics from the Soul. And we have so much going on. I have an event coming up September 16th, Soul Retreat 2017, and it is called Rise as a Phoenix. It's time to take back everything we think we've lost or was stolen or taken from us. It's time for us to rise up. Regardless of the situation or circumstances that are going on in our life, we have the power to live our dreams. Yes, in the midst of calamity, in the midst of all that's going on in the media and with the powers that be, the presidential cabinet, is so much going on and so much hatred is rising up in our nation and people are literally at each other's throat, but we can rise like a phoenix. You know, we, the American people, have risen up through great adversities and we've triumphed over all things because, first of all, I think because we are one nation unto God that we have learned to humble ourselves and seek God's face. You know, as in Colossians said, one of my favorite books, it says that we should humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and that he will deliver us. He will save us from the onslaught of the enemy. And I know that things, although may seem rough, may seem hard, I know that in the midst of it, those that are believers, we have carved out a section of peace where we can surpass all of this that's going on. And Shirley, you know, you have an event coming up, your Chicken Wing Festival. You want to talk a little bit about that before we go into our main topic tonight, which, I mean, we have a special guest, Beverly Smith, that's joining us, and we'll have you, the American people, because we're going to talk about should we remain silent with everything that's going on? Should we be silent as a people?
That is so true. But before we go into that, I want to tell you a little bit about the Wing Festival. This is our third annual event for the Michigan Chicken Wing Festival. Festivals have been around for 28 years now, and we inaugurated the one into Michigan. So we're in the Super Bowl of Wings right now, and we're looking forward to a wonderful weekend, September the 1st through the 3rd. So if you're in Michigan or got family here in Lansing, send them our way for a fun-filled weekend for family. We got music, things for the kids to do, inflatables and things. We got jazz, pop, rock, and even something for our younger people, younger generation. We got a hip-hop and EDM concert to close out the festival. So we are looking for tons of people. There's food vendors. You know, test your taste buds and taste out all the different wings. We got everything from hot wings, sriracha, to stuffed chicken wings this year, and Parmesan wings. So it's going to be a delicious festival. It's one that brings unity to the community and for everyone to enjoy. So I'm excited about it. It's downtown Lansing. Check out the website, MichiganChickenWingFestival.com. And now our guest tonight, Miss Beverly Smith. Wow, you know, there's so much I can say about this pioneer is what I want to call her because she's a trailblazer. I met her years ago through a mutual friend of ours. I actually wrote an article for her newspaper. At the time, she had the Black Pages. It's a political paper. She's been a photographer for over 20 years, and she's captured the best side of so many people from different churches, some of the mega churches in Detroit, to some of the top businesses on the, I would say, the Fortune 500 list. That she's been able to capture, you know, pictures and been published in magazines and newspapers and helped them to take their organization to a different level because, you know, a picture can say a million words. But she's gone on to be her own entrepreneur in so many other endeavors to help the community in Detroit. But one of the things I love about it is that she has stayed true to her passion to give us information from business to politics. So she keeps all well informed in the Midwest. So if you ever want to find out what's going on, check out the Detroit Smart Pages newspaper. It's online, and there's also it's distributed to 150 different locations, the hard copy is. So this is a woman that's on the move and that's making a difference, even to the point that she's giving out awards. She has Thank You Detroit, which is an award event where she awards businesses for staying in the city of Detroit. So she's not just informing us, but she's also giving people recognition. And she never stops. She's a member of different women's groups. One is Women Informing Network, which is WIN. And she's even been the president for 6 years for that. And so it's a they're coming up on their 25th anniversary. So it's not a new organization. It's one that's been around for years. And she's been known for to be one of the most influential African-American women in the metropolitan area. And she's been honored by different radio stations, Woman Making Magic in 2005, Magic Radio, and Who's Who in Black Detroit from 2007 to 2010. So she's got a testimony to tell, and she's going to join us tonight. And should we continue to be silent? Without any further ado, I'd like to introduce my friend, a pioneer, a woman that's got a mission, and she will not stop, Ms. Beverly Smith.
Thank you so,
welcome,
so
much. Beverly.
I had to turn around and figure out who is she talking about. Thank you, Shirley and Dr. Val, so much for having me. And such a wonderful program, Hot Topics of the Soul. Did I get that right?
Yes, it's Hot Topics from the Soul because my foundation is from the soul of a woman. So,
from the soul of a woman. Well, both are great and right, exactly, especially in the times that we're living in right now. And you really said all of it when you said that we just have to put our hands in the grace of God and just let him deliver us through everything, which we do that anyway as women. So I'm just delighted to be here and hopefully share a little dialogue with the two of you. And thank you so much, Shirley, for reaching out. We got two people here from Michigan and Dr. Val, you're down there in the warm weather of Fort Lauderdale.
Indeed. You know, as I said, Beverly, there's so much going on in the world today. There's threats of wars. Well, you know, it's nothing new because from the biblical days, it was talking about there will be wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and all these things are going forward. But it is just so astounding to me that after all the things that we've accomplished and the milestones that we've achieved, and I salute you and honor you on your many achievements, you are definitely walking as a queen. So I thank you so much for being that trailblazer and allowing us to know that it's possible
this life that we live, that we can have it all. We can be women of color and own our own business. So I do salute and honor you. But here we are in 2017, and we're faced with discrimination as never before. Yes, I know when Dr. King marched that, you know, there was great adversity during that time, but we've come, I thought, through leaps and bounds, and it seems like in the last 7 months, here we are in reverse.
Should we remain silent? No, we shouldn't, especially as women. We are the creators, and I think President Obama said that a woman is the foundation of a country, and we have to speak up. We have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren that are coming up in this world, and as you just mentioned, are we back in 1960, in the 60s, or is it 2017? Even with Detroit, you know, we just celebrated 50 years of the riots from 1967. We have a president in the White House that seemed like he's taking the whole country back to that era. So we as women should do the rightful thing that we've always done, is to step up and take the lead and do things in our own communities first, in our own communities first, and then that can trickle on up to the country. So we have a job to do.
Indeed, Shirley.
When, you know, our job seemed like it's never done. Is, you know, what
exactly.
You know, it seemed like our job is never done. And with all that's going on, it's like we have to constantly be on, as I say, our P's and Q's. Now, doing the campaign, I want to go back a little bit. This guy, number 45.
Right,
he
45.
Told, yes, he told everyone what he was going to do. But unfortunately, there were so many people that was torn between the rhetoric of Hillary's email and Bernie Sanders not being able to make it through the primary, that some opt not to vote or to vote for him because they looked at him as a man who was speaking his mind. But unfortunately, they didn't understand what he was actually saying, because he was already speaking in code, and his code words were make America beautiful again, meaning make it white again, let's take back our country, and all of these things were what the Nazis and this white supremacists loved. He was speaking their language. I called them dog whistles. And
exactly.
When you're giving people, you know, and a lot of people don't understand what that means when a dog whistle. A dog whistle is words that are sounds that only the dog can understand. So he was speaking sounds and words that only the supremacists understood. They have a book called their code book. When you say certain words, it means certain things. Being that so many Americans do not understand a lot of those codes, they took it as, okay, he's going to beautification, he's going to stop, put the walls up so we can get more jobs, we can keep our jobs, that no one is going to be coming from Mexico to take our jobs. He's going to put a ban, travel ban, on certain country, so that means that's more job for us available in the technology field, because if you really look at it, that technology, there's more Indian people or Islamics or other Arabic nation people that are doing those jobs. So a lot of
right.
people focus that on jobs, oh, he's going to give America jobs. So that was those. And then he said, I love the poorly educated. Speaking, if you did not graduate high school or you did not go past that or you're slow to learn or to catch on to the whistles, then I got you.
That's
you
exactly
will
right, Doctor. Because those are the characteristics of the people that the alt-right and the white nationalists and the neo-Nazis recruit, the people who you just
yes.
mentioned. The under-educated and the young white males and women, too, to follow into
mm-hmm.
these groups. I mean, it's like a cult. So
yes.
you're right. He was giving dog whistles, and everybody thought there was more to number 45 than what he – in other words, they didn't believe him. When you first show your colors, like Maya Angelou always says, when somebody gives you that first to tell you who they are, believe them. So when you had the when he had the slogan, or still has the slogan, "Make America Great Again," that turned up the ears of a whole lot of people in the country. And it wasn't about that he was speaking to the people who in the coal mines and in the Rust Belt who didn't have jobs and things like that. And I'm not saying that some of those people didn't feel the pressure of not having jobs, but they're not the only ones. Jobs are being scarce all over the country. And what they didn't realize that President Obama had brought this country from falling off a cliff back to where people were having jobs.
Right.
So when you speak to a certain section of the country that followed those dog whistles that you mentioned, this is what we have today.
Yes. And beyond that, and the ones that didn't understand it and voted for him and then have buyer's remorse, it's, you know, that's another whole set of people. There's some educated people that actually believe that he would fulfill the promises of making their lives, quote, better, lowering taxes for them and so forth. Not knowing that this man had one agenda only, to get in office, and he's going to take care of number one, which is himself and his family. And everyone else comes second, third, fourth, and fifth, and he really do not care.
That's true. And,
Shirley,
were you going to say something?
Yeah. No, go ahead.
Oh, the other thing, too, Dr. Val and Shirley, is the aspect of loyalty. How many times has he expressed that he wants everybody to be loyal to him as if he's a dictator? This, you know, our presidency and our democracy in America is not won by a group of people just being loyal to a person. We are loyal to the ideals of this country, which all of us are created equal and all of us have the same opportunity to progress as all Americans. You know, it hasn't been that long since we got the voting rights, 1968, you know, so we were still struggling. So we haven't had the opportunity to even catch up to what they have been privileged to. Everybody thinks it's a long time, just a couple of generations, but when you think about it, it hasn't been that long. And then we have a person in the White House. I'm sorry?
Well, one of the things is that the American people are so reality-driven till they didn't get a grasp on what was real and what was actually fabricated. So we
right.
already saw who he was when he had his reality show, and he's running the White House as the same old game. He thinks he can fire and hire people just like he did on that reality show. He thinks he can move the chess and do what he want to do and rewrite scripts and tell individuals, if you're not on my team, that I'll get rid of you, you're fired. And that's not how it goes. But see,
We, the people, bought him in office. We allowed him to be in office. But the bigger picture is we're trying to fight to get him impeached, to get him pulled down. But then we have Mike Pence, who is the vice president. Now, one of the things about Donald Trump is he has no etiquette. He is just who he is, arrogant. But Michael Pence, he comes from a political background, so he will be as a serpent. He knows how to slide in there, and he knows how to talk the language to make it seem as although that he's going to make it okay. He's going to fix everything. So he's just waiting for the Donald to fall. And I think that we the people need to rise up and open our eyes at the full picture of what's before us. It's not... We have on the news every day distractions, and a lot of it is caused by the President of the United States. Reality show. He thinks this is a reality show. He's playing with our lives. He's taking, talking about taking our children and sending them to war. He's talking about cutting education where we are struggling to get educated, get degrees, and he's talking about cutting the budget, restricting us so that we won't be able to do that. It will be so far out of reach. And then he's attacking those people with the federal government with taxes, and he doesn't pay taxes. So here we go, a whole cycle. It's only good for the elite. And those people that voted for him that were lower class and white middle class, now they're being affected because they thought he was on their side. And they're finding out one thing he didn't realize is there are more white people in poverty than black Americans, because we are more resilient. Mm-hmm. We've always been a resilient race. And the other thing, he didn't realize that. And a lot of people voted him in office because they felt that it would take out our light, that it would diminish us. But it has caused us to rise even more because, like I said, we're resilient. We'll make it work. I remember watching my grandmother as a young child growing up, and they would be in the field and doing the vegetables and coming in and cooking big pots, and the whole neighborhood would come by and eat. No matter who dropped by, there was enough food. And we were poor. We were poor, but we didn't know we were poor.
We didn't know we were poor. But the other thing, too, Dr. Val and Shirley, these are not things that he wants to do. These are things that he is doing. He is doing these things. It's so many distractions, you know, with the Russia investigation and other nonsensical things that he comes off with his tweets and everything. He hasn't actually had legislation. I think only one actual piece of legislation, but he has signed so many executive orders that are taking away a lot of our rights. And nobody is talking about that. And matter of fact, I'm actually working on my next issue of the newspaper. And as we're talking, that just gave me an idea. I'm going to look up, because I try to educate as much as I could and give resources in the paper. And I am going to put in the paper as many of the things that he's done that we don't know about, so people will know what he's done. So these are, you know, that's one of the purpose of the newspaper, is to educate, inform, and get people involved, especially the business community.
Mm-hmm. If we will pick up the paper and read, if we will stop watching television, if we will stop listening to music bopping our head like every night, nothing's going on, if we will be engaged with our life, and really look at those issues. So I applaud you on that. Can you express or list a couple of the things that are important that we should take note of, so that when we say, yeah, we don't like that, we'll know what is it that we really don't like? What is it that's going on? Because I'm telling you, a lot of American people are blinded. They're just like the blind feet, you know, following the blind. A lot of people voted because mama said vote for this person and daddy said vote for that person, but they didn't understand the scope of what they were doing.
Well, the main thing that I think we need to do in the community, not only as women, but in our communities, period, we have to be engaged. You have to know what's going on in your community. You have to know who your mayor is, what he stands for. You have to know your council people if you're in an actual city. You have to know what's going to affect you in your community. You have to know what's being built around the corner from you. How many of the new marijuana places that's going to be right around your corner. If you're not engaged in what's going on in your community, then everything when you look up is there. Because we always say, how did that happen? When did that happen? So you have to, you know, be cognizant of the news, you know. And I think, and I'm not sure how many households, but I think some of the millennials are really up on things that are going on. So I think we have a more educated community now, especially from, I would say, the 40 to 25-year-olds that are really interested. These are the people that really got President Obama in office. So I think that they are tuned in. But sometimes as generations come and go, we find ourselves separated because the millennials seem like they have their own world. And I don't know how old you guys are, but I just can speak for me. We're in our world, they're in their world, and then our young people, like 20s to 15, they're in their world. So somehow we have to bring these things together and educate our children on, number one, our history so that they can see what's going on now. Because a lot of our young people, they don't even understand what's going on right now. Because some, you know, a lot of the years I think we've dropped the ball on really keeping them abreast of our history because it's been hidden from us so long. But I think those are two areas that we really need to do is to know our history and be abreast of what's going on in your own local community. Do that first.
True. That is
absolutely
so true.
Because we just, we're having an election here in Detroit, and I know a lot of the different cities have elections at different times, so we're about to elect either the incumbent mayor or the new person that's running for mayor. So you have to be engaged and, you know, and vote and just be involved. And that's what I try to do. I try to be involved in just about everything that I could be involved in. And that's the only way that you're going to educate yourself and then in turn try to educate others.
And definitely when you're informed in everything, you don't have a choice, you know. That's our responsibility, is to let someone else know and to share when you're informed. I mean, because, you know, to be informed is to be empowered. And
right.
to
exactly.
have that type of power and not share it, you know, that is something that we have to speak up. And that's why with our topic tonight is should we remain silent? We should not. We have to speak up. We have to share. Because knowledge is power. And if we want to remain strong, we got to keep educating ourselves and stay informed, stay woke, and share that with others so they can be empowered as well. Because once we find out, and I commend you with your paper and everything, after all these years, you're still pushing forward, pushing that information out. It's like share, share, share. And it seems like the more you share, the more we need to share in this day and time because we've never experienced anything like this before as far as a leader of this country to be, like he's been.
That are expressing, I don't know if you guys are on Twitter or, things like that, but a lot of people in this country who have expressed it, they are actually scared because of, they're thinking, we might even be going to a race war. We don't know. But if somebody doesn't step up and stand out and try to control or help 45 out of office, what are we going to do? I sent a tweet out. I said I'm going to make a phone call. I know the new interim president of the NAACP, I think is Derek Johnson. He's been on the air several times. I think the whole country needs to march against this White House. What do you think? I really do, because if we don't stand up and say something, we need to do it. I mean, those young ladies who organized the march after the inauguration, I think they're probably already doing it. I'm going to hope that. I'm just hoping that through osmosis they hear what I'm saying. I'm thinking that they're already getting something together.
Yeah, well, you know, Edmund Burke said that evil prevails when good men do nothing. And I think that this is the dispensation we've moved on. I mean, from before he even got in the White House, people were marching. But here's the thing.
Right.
In our previous shows, I talked about this. I'm like, okay, y'all marching when he was elected. Where were you when it was time to go to the polls? Where were you?
You said a mouthful. Where were we? We have so many disenfranchised people, too. I mean, we have so many different aspects, so many fires to put in our community, and we can only speak basically, you know, from, you know, what we hear and see in other communities, but we know what's in our backyard. We know what's out in our community. You know what's going on down in Fort Lauderdale in your community. Shirley, you know what's going on in Lansing area in your community, and I know what's going on in Detroit here in my community. So we have so many fires to put out before we could even get to the White House. You see what I'm saying? So that's why you got to start locally and do things in your own area first.
Exactly. And a lot of American people don't know that.
Right. And then collectively we can move to the other stage. And we need people. You know, a lot of people say, well, what do we need black activists for? We need those because we can't do it all. Everybody can't do everything. Everybody is sent here on this earth with a God-given talent to do something. You just have to figure out what that is.
We need activists because their mouths are big. I said, there's a lot of us that sit and do nothing because we scared to talk, figuring they'll be circling our house. So there's some people that rise up like Dr. King and will speak out and be willing to give their life for it. That's why it just baffles me that we have allowed ourselves to be so distracted with the different type of music and the berating of ourselves, and we to walk around with no dignity, no self-esteem, after our ancestors have laid down their lives for us to be able to walk around and be empowered. It just baffles my mind. And then when we see these people, the white supremacists, talk and say, well, they got what they deserved and you know, told the president, you know, we voted you in and we'll vote you, we'll take you out. What kind of talk is that? We've allowed so much to happen. You know, we think because we're marrying interracially that everything is okay, but it is not okay. We think because we segregated the schools that it's okay. It is not okay. We think that because we can live in different neighborhoods that it's okay. It is not okay. There are people that look at us and still look down on us. Discrimination is alive and well. I never knew racism until I moved here to South Florida. I lived in New York. And I never knew discrimination till I moved here.
Well, I'm originally from Louisiana, so I'm a migrant from the state of Louisiana. So we grew up, well, I would say that we, you know how they say, well, in the South, you know your place, and you know it's overt racism, and in the North, it's covert racism, undercover and overcover. Mm-hmm. So we knew. We stayed in our neighborhoods. So we grew up perfectly fine because we, you know, I guess our parents, you know, we had our own community. We didn't really mix too much, you know, with the other side. So, but we already knew. But we, all of us, all three of us and everybody else, we've grown up with racism all our lives. Have you ever asked yourself, Dr. Vail and Shirley, and just said to yourself one day, we've been growing up with racism our whole entire life. Do you ever just thought about that right there?
Yeah.
Our whole life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Our whole lives, you know, and even though you didn't really know it, but you know somebody else that knew it, you know.
Right.
You may not have had a specific incident to happen to you, but you knew of it. You knew somebody else. And by me being from Louisiana down south, we knew where we couldn't go. I mean, you know, I remember seeing the colored signs and the white signs and you know, you drink out of this place and you can't go here. I grew up with that. My father was a Mason, a 32nd degree Mason, so he was one of those who they recruited to go and do the sit-ins and things. So we knew that. So it was a whole new world for me, but as you said before, we never knew we were poor or anything. We just were living our lives. So, but we, until you get involved in knowing the political aspects of life, you're just living. So when you get older is when you really start paying attention, you know, to like Republicans and Democrats. We didn't know about that when we were 15, 16, 17 years old going to school. You know, we didn't know, I didn't know Republicans stood for this and Democrats stood for that. We didn't care.
Right.
We were, you know, going to school and living our lives. So when you become politically active and you start paying attention to these things, that's when you really should get involved and do your part as a citizen, you know, in your community. Because we were taught civics in high school. You guys, we were taught civics. I don't even know if they teach civics in high school now.
They don't.
Yeah, they don't.
Because my kids are grown. My grandchildren are grown, and I have a few younger ones that are still in school. I don't think they even teach it in the schools.
No.
So we really have a job to do as women to take care of our communities, because we are the nurses, and that's what we do.
Interesting. Those of you that have tuned in, I'm talking to Beverly Smith. She is a publisher and an entrepreneur, and she lives in Michigan, and she is our special guest tonight. And I'm going to open up the lines, and the topic is, should America remain silent? Those of you that want to queue in and weigh in on a conversation, press 1, and I will put you in queue. Press 1, and I will put you in queue. Should America remain silent? Let's see. Caller 2175, you are live.
Oh, thank you so much. Hi, everybody. This is Marie.
Hi.
Oh, thank you so much. Boy, I was hoping for you to come with me. One thing that I really, really appreciate what you said, I have been saying this for years. We have to go to the town meeting. We have to know who our mayor. We have to know who our Congress. We have to go to these meetings in order for us to say what we want to say and do what we want to do. And we have to be voters. We have to be voters. And I'll tell you what another thing that I really and truly liked about what she said is that the neighbors, we have to help each other, and we have to do for each other. And then the next thing is that a lot of people think, oh, Dr. Val, I love that part when you said what we are. It's so wonderful. But, you know, most of the black people now that have and doing, they are on their own now and doing their own business. They're not working for companies and people anymore. They're not doing that. They're not making them rich anymore. They're trying to get richer and richer. Every time I see a young person, that's the first thing I ask, baby, when you getting your own? Because this is what you need, your own. Get your own, because that's the only way you're going to be able to make it. And so this is a lot of times when they look at statistics, you know, they're looking at, because we are not working, they think we're the only ones that don't have jobs. But it's so many of us that have our own. And I thank y'all so much. Oh, we have to have this again, Dr. Zell. Hi, Shirley.
Okay.
Hi,
thank
Marie.
You so much for tuning in.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for tuning in. And that's right. We have always been a resilient species.
People.
Mm-hmm. Always been resilient. But what do we do? Where do we go from here? Shirley?
Beverly, where do we go from here?
Well, if you're talking about what's happened nationally, we have to stay vigilant and talk to our congresspeople because they're the ones in Congress. You do have to know your congressperson. My congressperson is Brenda Lawrence. So we have to know who these people are because they're the only pipeline, other than if you're not watching cable news like we do, well, like I do, to know what's going on. You have to be in touch. And I guess by me being in the press, I do get emails from my council people and Congress people to let me know what's going on. So I do have that little advantage. But if you're not in tune in what's going on in your own community, you can't reach out further than that if you don't know what's going on around you.
Right.
That's true.
Sure.
I would say not only stay in tune to what's going on around you and knowing your congressperson, but reach out and touch them. And, reach out and touch them. You can call, you can email, you can tweet. And when they have these town hall meetings, show up, you know, because I know I write mine. I have a Republican representing me. And he wrote me back when the healthcare was going on, and what really irritated me, he responded, but his response was, "Thank you for reaching out and everything. I'm fighting for you. Yes, we're going to appeal Obamacare." And I was like, "That's not what I said." So I reached back out to him and told him, "Clearly, you did not read my letter. Do not send me just a staple letter or." Basic response that you think that because of your position that I'm supporting you in the position that you're in. If you really care about your constituents and you're going to respond, before you respond to one, read what they wrote you. Don't just respond. And then he wants to know, did I want to be on his mailing list? No, I'm not supporting you. I didn't vote for you. I'm just telling you, I will make sure I get other people to vote you out. So you need to stand up for what your constituents want. Don't just assume and don't think about yourself. So you can talk to your congresspeople like that because they do work for us. So many people feel like, okay, I don't have any power. Yes, you do. It's called resist and vote them out and let them know you're in there, but I can help vote you out.
And and just listening to all the things that are happening on a daily basis, I think a lot of, and I don't mind saying that I'm a Democrat, I'm not a Republican, but a lot of the Republicans just automatically feel that if they repeal Obamacare, that's what people want. So they're not thinking about what you, their constituents, are. They just feel they have to go along with what 45 is saying and what they've been trying to do for 7 years and have been completely unsuccessful in doing. Because if they were truly worried about their constituents, 70% of the people don't want them to repeal Obamacare. So they're not listening to what their constituents are actually saying. They just had in their mind that they want to do. They just wanted to do that from the beginning because we all remember that as soon as President Obama took office, they had a meeting to not do anything that he wanted to do. So they were a whole Congress of no 8 years ago. And then this president that we have in there now, that they have in there now, because I didn't help put him in there, he's saying to everybody that the Democrats aren't doing anything, but the Democrats can't do anything because they own both houses. I mean, the House and the Senate. And you have a president. So what can the Democrats do? They didn't consult them on anything with what they were trying to put together to repeal and so-called replace Obamacare. And now 45 wants to blame it on the Democrats for not they didn't help do. We have to blame it on them because they didn't help do anything. So we really living in what was the thing in the third with Mark Twain, the best of times and the worst of times.
Right.
Yeah.
We are really living in a very confusing time in our lives now. So we really do have to.
Yeah, because most of America don't think that they have to vote for anything but the presidency. They don't think about the senator, mm-hmm. the governor, the mayor, the commissioners. They don't think about any of that, but they control the money. They have the mm-hmm. powers, and they have the senators are able to have seats in the House. But if you don't vote and you keep having the same old people, and those, trust me, the Republicans, they're going to push it and get out and vote, because most of the Democrats, they're lazy because they've been told we don't have to vote for nothing but the president. And then when it comes time to do that, most of them won't do it because they say, well, the last president didn't do nothing. Why bother? It's not affecting me, but look, lo and behold, now it is affecting you because you didn't go mm-hmm. out and vote.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. And a lot of the local elections, a lot of people don't vote in the primary. That's another thing, too, that's very, very crucial. They say, well, we'll wait till the big election in November when most of them are held. But they don't think that before you get to the November election, you have to be voted on in the primary. And, you know, and in our area, we have such a low turnout. I think our turnout, because we just voted last Tuesday, was like 8%. I have to go back and see.
Yeah.
It was only 8%.
I worked the polls. I know how bad it is.
Right. So, you know, we have to, you know, because if you got five candidates running, And I'll just wait till November. How do you know that your candidate you want to win is going to be there in November if you don't vote for him in the primary?
Exactly.
Right.
So, you know, so that's the first thing. You know, we got the local thing to do, and I just want to give kudos to you for this show. And the other thing we have to do also is how can we help Auntie Maxine?
Oh, yes.
How can we help her put the eye on this 45? Eye.
I was fortunate enough to spend the weekend. I was in LA, and she was our guest speaker.
Oh, great! She was here a couple of months ago too. Well, I know it was a rousing speech.
It was. It really was. And she's picking up momentum with it as far as support. But she does have some Republican on her side with her.
They're not going to Republican right now.
Right. Yes, they are. Yes, they
because
are.
They are afraid, too. They're afraid for their generation.
Right, because with more and more things that 45 is doing, they're seeing more now that they can't defend him anymore. So, and it's only been, this is the eighth month. And today, I mean, just to bring it on home, today was like a turning point. He was completely off the rails. I don't know if you guys got to see that impromptu press conference that he held today.
I did. I saw it.
So we
and
have a lot
I,
of
you know.
Okay. So
words
what
about.
Was discussed?
Well, he was really supposed to be talking about infrastructure project.
Right.
And knowing his personality, he couldn't pass up an opportunity to really say what he wanted to say, because even though he didn't speak out forcefully enough on Saturday when the you know, the things happened in Charlottesville, and then they had to write the speech for him to say on yesterday. And if anybody saw that, you can tell that he really didn't want to read that, so they forced him to actually say the words neo-Nazi and KKK and white supremacists. So today, the first question, after he said a couple of things about the infrastructure, and I think somebody from CNN ask him about why didn't he say something sooner. That's all he needed was to completely go off rail. And he actually defended the neo-Nazis and the KKK because he said, well, they have a permit to be there and your people didn't. He actually said those words. Yes.
Yeah.
And he said, and they the one and your people, and he kept saying your people, and your people had knives and things, and they were the ones who was assaulting them. And then another person asked the question, well, what do you think about the alt-right? Alt-right, what is alt-right? You tell me what alt-right is. Oh, well, what about alt-left?
Right.
Your people were the alt-left.
Yeah.
Dr. Val, you should. It was unbelievable.
Oh, and then he talked about the taking down the statue. He was in that.
Yeah, and
he talked about, so Washington was a slave owner, so what are we going to do, take down his stuff? What about Lincoln? And what about this one? I was oh, my God.
Yeah, he doesn't even understand. He doesn't understand things, and I think people are seeing that now. I mean, because I tried to give as much information during the elections on him and how his temperament was and the people who wrote, the person who actually wrote the book, The Art of the Deal, how he was growing up and that he was really unfit to be president because he had the attention span of a two-year-old when he was with him for several months trying to write the book.
Well,
and people just didn't want to believe any of that.
Yeah, but, you know, here it is again. The people sitting in, they knew all of this. They saw how
he
conducted himself, but yet they want, they see what he's doing. But, you know, now everybody's rallying. It's not black people or Asian or those that are Arabic. The white people, the Caucasians are marching and stomping around now because things he's doing is affecting them too. But, you know, I'm reminded of Dr. King. He says the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in the moments of comfort. You know, we got comfortable around here and convenience for where he stands in times of challenge and controversy. We took things. We got slack. We got slack.
Well,
we took our eye off the ball. We thought we arrived.
Well, we knee deep in the times of challenge and controversy. We are in it right now. So we really have to do something. So I'm hoping that the NAACP or some large organizations come together, and they just have to come together. I don't care if it's 400 or 500 people at a press conference. They just have to denounce this president. He is not good for this country, and he's not good for the world. I mean, and I know you guys know all the things that the other countries are saying about him.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, and we should be very afraid because they're looking up our skirts because they're saying, look who we have leading us. But, you know,
exactly.
He keeps talking about President Obama, but President Obama was the people's president. He didn't differentiate. He wasn't a racist. He was the people's president. And every time he has an opportunity to echo, call President Obama's name, it's always to downplay something he's done or say. But they never marched for President Obama when he was in office. They never followed him around chanting, saying they wanted him removed. They never did any investigations. They never pulled down anybody out of his cabinet. They never found scrupulous things going on with anything in his office, his cabinet, his home, his private life. Only thing he could find out to say is, you don't even belong here. You're not even a U.S. citizen. That's the best he can do. But yet all this stuff is up underneath his skirt, and we're seeing it, and all we could do is march now saying, let's take him down, let's take him down. But yet we're supporting the things that he's doing because of the fact that, you know, in us,
and around us, there is still discrimination.
Oh, well, right. Well, discrimination has never left. We all know that. But it seemed like a certain section of the country always figured, well, if the country can elect a black president, there is no discrimination anymore. So we don't need affirmative action. We don't need this. I mean, you know, just the
right.
last just worked recently at the college where, well, this is not the first one, where, you know, well, the white people are saying that, well, other ethnic groups are saying that they're being discriminated against. But because people have never really accepted the fact, that's why we still have the KKK and all those people. They've never really accepted the fact that black people in this country came from slavery and are doing things, and they just don't like that. They've never liked that. And this country has never accepted the fact that it's been racist. We've had to live with it for all our lives, and it's something they just won't admit.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the show is almost over. We got a few minutes,
oh, no.
and I thank you so much, Beverly, for being our special guest. Yes, indeed. I tell you, you're an awesome woman, and if you have any information you want to give out to our listening audience
sure.
so that they can stay connected to you, Facebook, website,
oh, sure.
please feel free to do that.
Okay, well, thank you so much. If anybody wants to read the current issue of Detroit Smart Pages, it was originally called Detroit Black Pages, but I changed the name. I just got a little bit smarter, Dr. Bell and Shirley. So I changed the name to DetroitSmartPages.com, DetroitSmartPages.com. And the current issue, past issues, all the information is there about the newspaper. My phone number is there, and it's an open book, so any questions, my email address, phone number, 313-268-3523, 313-268-3523. And also you can visit my other website, thankyoudetroit.com. That's the site where I honor and recognize long-standing businesses who've been in the city for years and recognize them for their hard work and service to the city of Detroit. And the other thing is the October the 27th, the Women's Informal Network, which is a ladies group that I'm in, and we try to support and mentor and volunteer and give scholarship to young girls as well as other organizations in the community. We're celebrating, as Shirley said, 25 years this year, founded back in 1992. 27th, we're having our Founders Day celebration, but this year we're honoring men. So the women are honoring men who count. So we're honoring 10
yes.
distinguished men from the community who do things to help women and do things to make our lives better. So I just appreciate the opportunity, and anytime I can be of any service to any of you, just feel free to call me and just look me up, smartpages.com and thankyoudetroit.com.
Wow, awesome. Thank
All
you
right.
so much. You are a powerful vessel indeed. Thank you for walking as a queen and showing us that it can be done. And I'm looking
be
to be at the top with you, my queen. But I honor you and thank you all for tuning in. And we will be back Tuesday. And thank you, my listeners, for joining. And don't forget to visit FromTheSoulOfAWoman.com and register for Soul Retreat 2017. It is for men and women. And if you can't come, say, Dr. Val, I can't come. Sponsor someone to come, because we have a lot of individuals in the community that can't afford to come but would like to buy a ticket and say, Dr. Val, I'm donating. So I appreciate you so much. See you next Tuesday, Shirley. Thank you. It's great to be back.
And
I know. Thank you so much.
The Wings Festival, what day is it, Shirley?
September the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Lansing at Adado Riverfront Park. That's the Michigan
okay,
Chicken Wing Festival.
I'm going to try to make it. Okay.
All right.
Thank
awesome.
You.
And I
All
will
right.
be
so
there,
much.
So I'll get a chance to meet you as well. Thank you. Good
okay,
night,
well,
and God
I'm
bless you.
Sure
remember,
I'm be there.
And remember, Tuesday, next Tuesday, our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are more powerful beyond measure. Marion Williamson. Good night, and God bless.
Good night. God
Thank
bless.
You. Yeah.